Why don't we call the meeting to order at 8:03. And we have a roll call, first call to order and a roll call. So why don't we go around? I'm Bill Underwood.
Ren Doty.
Jim Gorzo.
John Bogard.
Crystal Miles.
Brad Reese.
Joe McCarthy.
Steve Franks.
Great, good attendance. He said Harold called in and cannot make it today. Well, we have a Pledge of Allegiance with a flag over here in the corner. Crystal, will you lead us, please?
I would love to. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You're gracefully done, Joe.
We can have public comment, but hopefully we have a public today. And discussion items, so take a look at the minutes, which should look like a one piece of paper, two pages. And that was back in July, so that pushed your memory a little bit. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? Time to read. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Minutes are approved as written. And more importantly, Jim Gorzo is here.
Yeah, so let me start it off. Frank Davies left, and if you don't know where Frank went, he's now the county auditor controller, which is actually a really nice plus for Villa Park because he kind of understands where we are, and we have a little bit of influence, and we can pick up a phone now and talk to the county auditor, which in the past they would might not have even asked, you know, where is Villa Park? But now we're in good shape, and Frank is there. He has 36 years in, so he wanted to finish his career there. Jim Gorzo, we're fortunate to have with us a longtime county employee, and I'll let him introduce himself, but we're very fortunate, and he comes with the recommendation of Frank. In fact, Frank's the one, the first one out of his mouth was, let's get, see if Jim Gorzo can come over. So anyway, I'll let Jim introduce himself, and we'll go from there.
Hi, I'm Jim Gorzo, and as Steve was saying, basically a couple, 31 years with the county and a variety of assignments, last 16 years with child support, heading their budget financial group, so experience basically is somewhat applicable, you know. Payroll, AP, which I'm getting really involved in at this point, you know, contracts, purchasing, all that kind of stuff. So budget for the last 16 years. Before that, with the auditor's office, where Frank is in a number of different assignments with all the HC accounting. So I've seen a little bit of everything. I mean, there's some new stuff here too, but I'm enjoying getting into the weeds of things and drilling down and seeing. Looking for areas that basically maybe we can improve and bring us a little bit more to 2020.
So he from, fails to mention he is a Villa Park High School alumni.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, take us back to the beginning. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school?
I grew up about a mile from here. We moved out here when I think I was fourth or fifth grade. Lived in Orange. You know, I remember walking to Sarah Villa and Villa Park. Mm. Packing house when I was, I'm so old, basically the packing house was still here when I was walking up here.
Yeah.
His mom still lives right around the corner.
Did you go on to school from there? Or
pardon?
Did you go on to college from there? Or?
Yeah. Made it all the way to Cal State Fullerton.
Okay.
Me too.
And what year did you graduate?
High school?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 79.
Got it. Okay. Very good.
Anything else?
Any other questions? Then the former principal over there.
that's scary, huh?
Well, good. We're welcome aboard. We're due for some new ideas. Frank brought in some, and Michelle was here quite a while. Got things going. So you're all familiar with the city council at this point?
Yeah, more or less.
More or less. Why don't you go and give a little bit more of your background, so he knows what you do for a living and.
Me?
Yeah, I'll run the table.
Well, I run a small company, does industrial test instrumentation for process control and quality control. I've been doing that for about almost 30 years now.
And your background was, college was?
And then I was a Northwestern MBA and a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering at Ohio State.
Um,
you can know about her, you can read about her in the paper.
Yeah. Well, my background actually, graduate degree in tumor immunology, so I used to do cancer research down in San Diego for many years. Got married late, had kids late, and quit, and then now I help my husband run our business, doing all the accounting and the hiring and firing, and here I am.
Good. If I got any accounting questions, I'd come to you. Huh?
No. Don't
come to
me.
No. Bill. Yeah. Bill likes it. He actually likes it.
My story's so long, I don't even know where to start. So out of high school, wanted to be a fireman, went to college for firefighting junk, ended up working at the family business, been at the family business 41 years now, and I worked at the fire authority as a reserve captain for 28 years. Was on city council. Yeah, that's good enough. Anyways.
Was mayor several two times, right?
Actually three.
Three
believe it or
times.
Not. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Probably one of the few to do it three times.
They have weird
in 8 years.
Bob Bell had.
Yeah, Bob did too.
Yeah,
yeah, very few. I was very blessed. Too, yeah.
We found out very oddly that
either one.
Brad's wife and I went to high school together.
Right.
By happenstance, we just didn't realize it. Yeah. Went to junior high and high school together.
Yeah, that's a pretty
grade.
Amazing, huh? Same grade. Yeah.
So.
Okay, Mr. Penn State, have at it.
Yeah. I already heard an Ohio State name come up.
The Ohio State.
I'm sorry. I've been a long time chief financial officer, over 30 years, mostly with private equity owned companies. And last 3 years, I've been consulting after I sold one of the companies I was in. So that's what I do. I'm working on mergers and acquisitions and distressed companies most of the time.
That's what you get for selling your company, huh?
Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah, it's just, you know, it was a good sale, though.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, no, that was good.
I'm Bill Underwood. I came out of Maryland and went into University of Louisville, where we lived, folks lived in Louisville, and then went to MBA school at Northwestern and went to Navy for 3 years with over in Vietnam, on the shore with the Seabees and on the sea with the ship destroyer, and then came out of that and joined Arthur Andersen and company and went into a consulting division. Made partner in 70. Came back out of 70. Made partner in 80, and then came out here when I had married my wife out here in the Navy. So we got back to Chicago. Tremendous transition to go to Chicago for her, and then I made partner and kind of got my choice of where to go, and back to LA, and it was a tremendous transition to come from Chicago back here. She was used to it by that time. Yeah, so then I had some worldwide responsibilities at Chicago for the real estate and the hospitality industries, and left them in 90 after 20 years, retired from them, and joined. We started our own firm for information technology group for about 15 years, and then resigned. Gave that business one to my partner, and then my wife contracted cancer, and I spent a year with her, and she passed on about 8 years ago, and I've been doing, I got active in I figured I'd be a hermit if I didn't get out, so I got out and started joining community organizations, kind of overdid it, joined 12, became leadership in 8, became staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning doing PowerPoints. I said, what am I doing? I'm not even getting paid for this. So I've resigned out of most seven or eight of those and picked up a couple, so I'm down to 4 or 5. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm a retired economics professor, 45 years, I taught at the college level, economics and finance, and retired three and a half years ago, and do consulting mostly on startup businesses, mostly the financial aspects of what they do.
Is that when you started your house 3.5 years
She's
ago?
She's building a house.
Yeah. Yeah. More around there.
I can see the progress from my house.
Oh, can you really?
Well, I'm on Brewer Way, right where it curves. So
okay.
If we look straight up,
you can
that's
see
where
it.
You are, I think, right?
I just saw it from a distance on Sarah Villa the other day. For the first time I ever saw it from a distance.
Yeah, because we
It's only, it's, there's an nursery going up.
It's the one story?
It's only one story right now, yeah. But it's going to be two.
Yeah, okay. Because when you eat, yeah. It's way up the hill. Oh, no, God, I don't have a view. I'm way down.
You know? We have a view of everybody.
I'm going to look up the Lynn and Jim.
There you go.
That's us.
All right.
And Harold, he's not here. You might describe him a little
He's
bit.
The CFO of Chapman University. I recruited him, and he keeps apologizing that he can't come. So he's feeling guilty. He's going to talk to you, but I'm trying to keep him. I mean, he has so much power. He has so much knowledge.
He's got responsibility for everything other than the academic.
You know, he is the CFO of Chapman, so.
He's been very helpful to us, but recently haven't been able to fit the schedule. Okay, with that, let's move on. I was going to present today a article that I thought we'd place in a couple of papers about the openings, and then I really looked at myself in the mirror and said, you know, you got quite a network. You've never approached them hard. So I listed around about 25 folks that I could contact to get this going a little bit and go apart, and as well as their contacts. So I want to take that first before we advertise. I haven't been very successful in getting a listing in the little newsletter that we have, the thing. It says it's been in there, but I've never seen it. So I'm going to do that. I urge you guys to do the same. I think it's pretty good at the year end here. It's coming up. It's kind of a nice transition time. We can bring a couple in, present those to City Council for approval if we needed that. So we have two open.
Yeah, Lynn, I thought you had somebody that you were inviting to meetings or somebody.
Yeah, I was.
One fellow came.
He scared him away.
He wasn't interested.
You guys talked to me numbers for him. He's more of a infrastructure guy from Anaheim. He worked at Anaheim. He said he doesn't like all that accounting stuff.
Harold had one who was the chief market partner on the Chapman account.
He
also was in charge of the industry, educational industry worldwide for KPMG or whatever they call themselves now. He never got back to where he, and he was recently moved into Villa Park as well, so he thought he'd see if he'd be interested. Other than that, I hadn't heard of any other active comments. So if you want to get that going, I'll copy, anybody wants to be copied in on the letter I'm going to send out or email I'm going to send out to be introductory and kind of describe what we are and pump up a little bit.
January is when we make the typical appointments to the council. So
yeah, I don't know who's up this
perfect
year.
Perfect timing, but it's perfect timing, like you say, Bill.
Do you know who's up this year?
I have to check. I don't know.
I think I'm up. But
well, nobody's up. Nobody gets away.
I probably want a couple in.
I did mention it at the meeting right after our council meeting. I'll mention it again this coming.
And what works really that we need to keep doing that because it's open to anyone. But what really seems to have worked well in the past was personal contacts that you've met that they have some connection to finance, can be investments as well. You know who we are and what we kind of need. I would think it would be nice if we had somebody who knew a little bit more about pensions and pension investment since we've gotten into that through. Started out, we were just going to recommend somebody, and then all of a sudden we were overseeing that. But so and that we could beef up a little bit on that part. But other than that, I think really somebody with a sharp, good financial background and financial savvy and looking at things so the same way. I think it's important for us to have fresh perspectives. I know for a while we were generating quite a bit of new ideas. We need to do that again. We didn't need to do that this past time because we had enough stuff going on. But I think next year, I would think we'll be looking at Lynn's favorite subject of time to reevaluate the investment strategy. Every 2 years, we're supposed to do that and present that back to the council, have them read through that. And I think also we need to probably generate some ideas, fresh ideas, at which it's nice that when you took over Treasury, you had a couple that every time you bring somebody into a new area, and we'll look also for you to also bring some in, fresh perspectives, so that helps. I think we need to do the same thing with the council, plus bring it on. Dennis was treasurer for 20 years, so there was all new stuff there to always to bring in. So anybody you think with that's smart and vocal and willing to put a little, and we probably need to increase and look at also people who would be available to do a little bit of work as well. So, and all we think is smattering of folks who can do a top-down as well as folks who can do bottom-up working on a committee.
So before we go on, I wanted to mention, I think I shared with all of you, the state treasurer issues a report, and they assessed our risk of cash risk. And Villa Park is a very, very safe city by their rankings, which it's an independent rating of your liabilities and your both pension and health care, et cetera, and debt, which we have none beyond our pension liabilities. So it ranks probably, we're a much more favorable ranking, one of the best in Orange County, if not the best, better than Newport, better than Irvine, better than some of these other cities. So I sent that out to you, but it's really a nice reinforcement for all the work you guys do, because it's a statement of what you do and how we're doing things here. And I think that's something that I just wanted to thank you all for, because it's a contribution of the council's efforts, current and past, and it's your guys' efforts on things like the trust funds and things like that we're doing. So we're in a very good risk assessment externally, which is something that you always want that validation. So I wanted to thank you before we go on, and the membership is here is, you know, and the new ideas, and that's going to help us stay there, because there are some challenges we're going to face in the future, pension liabilities and other things that are going to continue to hit and whatnot. But where we are, thank you very much.
It's a good lead into the rest of the meeting. I have one side note, though. Did you get Morlock's email? You on his regular list?
Yeah, I did.
He had one yesterday that talked about the cities, and he showed the list of
net
assets.
He does that every year. We were like 12 or something like that.
Yeah, this time we weren't in that top level, and Tustin was in that and went down to 47 and dropped off. So I don't know if we were, or 45 and dropped off. I don't know where our ranking was. We may take a look at that.
Yeah, I'll take a look.
That's different than what we sent out.
Yeah, we had actually checked, because we had dropped last time. We haven't done anything different. Nothing has changed for us. And so we dropped, and I didn't understand how we could have dropped. Well, we had a finance student from Chapman who took it on as a senior project to go in and do it.
Okay.
And he sent the formula corrections to John. And he realized that we were back up there, but they were taking off the wrong reports. So it was really helpful. And he dissected the report.
Because his reports are almost...
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm like, I think I'm relatively intelligent, but I cannot. I have to sit there for like a half hour to figure out three columns and how he gets to where he's getting, and it's still one. Like,
But the student took it on, like I say, a senior project, and it was very helpful.
Did you even look at it?
It was really good. It was sort of like, and John sent me a note saying, "Well, we all make mistakes," and it was very nice.
Right.
So,
nice.
But when you publish something,
well,
Jerry does. He says, "When he graduates, could he come up on my staff?"
I think he was anxious, but the guy never called him again because his staff spent a lot of time with the student.
John's the only CPA in the Assembly or Senate and Assembly. So he books that, but he's in the minority party, so he doesn't have quite a lot of clout. Anyway, with that, the risk level, risk versus reward, I'll call this next section on the update on City Council. This was a couple items, I think it came here before, that we had in the 24th of September, Robbie Pitts, who's mayor pro tem, had picked up a report that Frank had given him in the regular packet that was a monthly results of the PARS.
Mm-hmm.
Which we shouldn't be giving monthly results to the PARS. Some of us have discussed it, but it got into the packet.
Right.
So he read it. I mean, you know, I had a boss once who said, "Don't give me anything you don't want me to read, but I'll read everything." And so, and he said, it looks like we lost a couple of $1,000 last month. Those guys came in and said we need to get in this program, but that doesn't look very good. And Vince, the mayor, said, "You know, why don't we wait till they come in here under it to explain that?" And he said, "Fine," and went away. But it was like, why are we doing so poorly on a couple hundred thousand? Oh, and it was also, he had the thought of a couple hundred thousand dollars, which was not over that same period. But anyway, it was a confusion. Frank was gone in October, so we couldn't present till November, which we did, and that's that second one that's referenced there on the thing. And I went through that, and I think the bottom line of that, I went fairly slowly and plodding along to make it, take the drama out of all of it, and presented a packet, which is was sent out as well. For that's the, and only presented basically the top part of that outline. You said there were a couple of things that got confusing. That's true. So I went slowly through that. Also, there was the one thing that is interesting in that, if you haven't printed that or looked at it, there was a PARS report that we thought, that we had planned that we were going to get here in the meeting before we went to the council. And regrettably, it didn't get here. There's some communication between Frank and PARS. And that's an annual report that's worth looking at, or a biannual report, but it's a year-to-date report, basically. And that's the kind of information they need to see for pensions. You really should be interested in year-to-date results, not months, because we've got multiple levels looking at it. We've got professional managers managing it, looking at it monthly. They've got reports coming here monthly, and we're looking at it quarterly, hopefully. And then we have a year-to-date presentation to them on that. So I think we're covered. I'd be glad to do more if we wanted, but for a city our size and for what we have in that, I think that's pretty appropriate. And we put $100,000 a year in it, so we've got 4 years that we're going to put $100,000 a year in it if the council holds to that plan. And that's a fairly small amount compared to the other cities, so it's kind of nice that PARS pays attention to us and cares on that, because they don't make much money off of that for sure. But they live in Irvine and Tustin nearby. The portfolio manager lives in Tustin. Dennis Yu, the executive VP, lives in Irvine. They are over here at a moment's notice, and it's very responsive to us anytime you call. So they'll always be right there. I thought if we provided that, there was an open point I felt left at the meeting of the other one. They all said, thanks, and you're on the right path, we understand. However, Robbie asks again, is that, Underwood, is that the best we can do? Is that the best performance we can get out of that? And it was 11%.
If it was your own money, is that the best you could do with your own money?
Right. So I said, no, if it's my own money, I can do better. We can do better. And I said, you, who picked the level of
the stance
of risk we want, can do better. However, you take more risks with that. So it's a risk-reward trade-off. But we're in the middle portfolio, the moderate. There is one, there are two higher than that. And you could do better in return on that. And Robbie's point for doing better was not just strictly doing better. Can we do better so we can get ahead of PARS and not have...
Which I actually, as you know, I agree with Robbie's position on that. I thought he was going to go the other way, but he went the way I was. This is a long, long-term deal.
Yeah.
Realistically, if you look at it, you should be in the highest risk-reward, you know, in that category.
So I want to open up that discussion, but I want to finish my little soliloquy at first. So I said, yes, you can take more, you get more reward, you can also take more risks. Mm-hmm. Understand that before in this portfolio we're in, it went down, or the portfolio next highest up, I forget which one it was, but they're all the same, the numbers are different. It went down in 2008 by 22%. Then it came back up the next year up 20%, and then the following year 10% or so. So it went down, but it came back up. But you've got to have the tolerance for risk that you're not going to panic, you're not going to go down 20%. The lower the portfolio you're in, the lower your amount you'll lose. But also similarly, you'll lose a 1 or 2% going up as well. He's nice enough in that. It was a public meeting and the rest. And so, but you could tell he didn't. It wasn't the same. Yeah, that's good. He's really performance oriented, and often the council members are only here for 4, maybe 8 years. So it's like, what are we doing during that? So I said, if it were me and my personal money, I would go higher than that. I can make more money. In fact, I can make more money just by pulling out my bonds and just being all equities. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go down much. So if I have the guts to go down, if it's money I'm not going to use for a while, I'm willing to do that. But when you're investing other people's money, sometimes you're a little more prudent, and that's in the prudent laws as well. But prudent is a state of mind, so you can state in that. Dennis Yu, off to the side, before the meeting, actually, when I got there, I said, well, how are we doing? He said, yeah, we're doing pretty well, but actually, CalPERS is, we just barely slid ahead of them in the portfolio we're in compared to what they did. So they were doing awful for a while, and then they finally came back up and made, I don't know, 7% or something, and we were like 7.2 or something. So it's a little different matter. As you go up the portfolios, it looks like you go up average over a period of time, you go up about 1% a year annual return. So if we made, if we averaged 7%, it would be 8% right. In the next portfolio and 9% in the other. None of them are outrageous. They're all diversified. It's just the amount of basically equity versus fixed income you have in it. And that percentage changes. So we're in, I think, the 50-50 or so, maybe 60-40 in the moderate, and it goes up to, I think, 75-25 right. In the roughly most aggressive one.
I think Robbie's point, too, was we put this money into the trust so that we could get more as a result on the right. Return. If we're just barely there and not making any extra, then we haven't really gained by putting it in the trust, I think was his point. So what, you know, we were supposed to have more latitude in making, taking risk and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
I didn't hear him state as clearly as you did, but
I think that was what he
would have heard that, I would have said, we're making more because we're making 2% over in our investments today because we're limited by law in terms of having to stay in 5-year perspectives and not risking capital. So, a principal, I should say. So, we're making more by being in that, and that is a way to do that. So, even if we do in a moderate, we're making, you know, we're made 11% in the year-to-date we were presenting. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen another year-to-date report. We'll talk about that in a moment. But that's good. Initially, we lost money because we put it in when we put it in at the top of the market, and then we had a tough December. It went down, and then, but we have a long-term perspective. You know, it's 10, 20-year money, not like we're doing now where we need it for operations. So to get the council to, one, think about long-term money and how you manage that, I think is important, and I think the information we give up is important. Maybe we'll talk about the Treasury report and how we show that, or when we introduce PARS, or do we not introduce it every meeting so they don't have to worry about managing it like at the market daily when you should be looking
at
it.
If you can avoid the exactly. Every meeting, that's just not the intent for.
And it wasn't
kind of
it them, year. But it was just
because it's going to be.
You know,
there's going to be the bad time, and there may be different council right. People that are there than
right.
Now. And they'll go, oh, what the hell are we doing?
You look at the situation the month before, it was like, oh, we lost $2,000. And then the next month is we need to be more aggressive. If we'd been more aggressive, we would have lost $4,000 that month.
That's, I think
that's why I was like, which way are we going?
Well, one of the things I think that, because I get the questions from the council members independently, so if we don't present the information, they're asking me anyway, guys. Maybe it's the way we present in a running average or something along those lines, because I'll get the question regardless and say, well, how did we do last
week? Then you have to present it.
We have to present it. So I don't want to just do it once a year because everyone's going to say, and it's their responsibility to oversee.
Well, we'll get to that on the question.
Yeah,
when you show them year to date or inception to date, I favored inception to date initially because we were in a crazy market there for a little while where we're going down. But eventually it can be year-to-date or inception date either way. Show them that monthly, that's fine. Just don't show them monthly results, you know.
But I think it's how we present the information, not that we're presenting something. It's how we present the scenario. I think that's sort of, because I'll get the question. Invariably, we can leave it off and give it to them once a year, but I'm going to get the question.
But that's not right.
Well,
I mean, they should run the city. They should have the information.
Yeah.
They just have to be able to shift.
Agreed.
They have to be able to shift from a monthly perspective to a pension funds are different in terms of the perspective. You sit on a pension fund board, or you sit on one of that, you're looking at, as we are here, regrettably we got into that, we're looking, having to look long term. That shifts from where we're trying to do, where we can get out of OCIP and get another X percent more. That's not where you are with a pension fund, because you're...
It's different.
However, yes, you show the year-to-date. Well, we'll get into that. My question was more pointed. I did not follow up after that meeting with Robbie or the rest of the council and say, by the way, here's the five portfolios. That's your choice to which portfolio you go into. At the meeting, I said, and Robbie said, what would you do if it's your own money? I said, if it was my money, I would take a higher portfolio. If I was managing other people's money as you're doing, I would take the moderate or the next one up, either one, but I wouldn't go beyond that to the top, but some people would. That's where I left it. I didn't then, normally I would have followed up. I wanted to talk to you guys first and take those five fact sheets for each of the five portfolios and present that, say, by the way, here's their performance.
I did talk to several of them, Robbie in particular. The decision comes every year about whether to put the next installment in.
Right.
That would be the appropriate time that he believed that we should look at the investments, you know, philosophy or strategy that we're having at that point. That comes up in the part of the budget process in the spring. Okay. So he does agree that we should look at it and at least validate where we are and say this is what we want to keep with and we want to invest more or let's change.
So,
I think that sort of gives us a time frame.
So that since we work at their behalf and on their effort, let's put that on the agenda for spring or pre-spring, whenever that comes up. And get the reports, and then.
But he wanted to relook at that point about what category we want to put ourselves into. I mean, I think he said, yeah, let's look at that. But he says, I'm okay. We wait and look at that as part of the decision for the process.
So when we first went into PARS, we talked to the mayor, or city councilman, perhaps mayor later, of Lake Forest, who later that group got bounced out, recalled or whatever. And he's also the CFO for the Mesa Water District, and they were both on PARS. Mm-hmm. And he, in both of those cases, had selected the most aggressive one. And they were down. They had lost money. I said, so how do you handle politicians like that? Not that we're heavily politicized politicians, but you handle people. Then they said, oh my God, you lost our money in this portfolio. How do you handle that? You're down. You say, well, number one, if you're in a water district, there aren't many people attending the meeting, and they don't really ask. I said, well, how about the city council? He said, some people pay attention, but I say, well, I would answer, now that you haven't answered what I thought you were going to say, I would say, we're in this for the long term. We're in the diversified portfolio. Over the long term, these are the results we should be getting. The fact that we lost 22%, I was looking at 2008 particularly, you lost 22% last year of money. You lost a quarter of our money. How can you do that as a public official? He said, no, it didn't really come up. So I said, that would be my answer to it. And then Dennis and I kind of dragged our feet a little bit about going into it because we said this is going to be different for the city council to be thinking about versus the slow, small incrementals that we get. So if we could readdress that in the winter or spring or whenever our next meeting is, that'd be January.
January.
Okay, so next meeting we'll.
And attitudes may change just because if people look at current conditions.
Yeah.
And think, you know, if we have a little downturn or something in the spring, everybody goes, "Ooh, yeah." But why weren't you more conservative?
exactly.
That's right.
So think of human condition and investing. Everybody knows you get
Crystal. Well, she's on the council, so I don't.
My opinions, and I am not an expert, or even I'm grappling. You know, I understand everything, but I haven't been in it for 30 plus years, like most of y'all have. But I think providing a report that is from inception to date, so that way they can see the ebbs and flows, and honestly, giving us too much information. And most of us, although we can manage our own businesses or manage our own finances, I think we kind of forget that it is everybody else's money. And so this committee was born for you guys, the experts, to guide us. So giving us just enough to satiate that, okay, we're doing good, or maybe we should look at this. And then at that springtime say, well, guys, here you go. It's on you guys. Here's the five different portfolios. We're in the middle. If you want a higher risk, you know, better return, go here. If you want, you know, safer, go down here. That's what I think. So I wouldn't give us too much of the weeds, because mm-hmm. we're not what you guys are, and that's why we got, that's why we have you as the committee, mm-hmm. to be able to say, kind of that brush over, like when you would speak to someone and not give them all the details, because their heads are going to be this, and just give them, you know, the PowerPoint highlights.
That's the most common thing with finance people, is they want to give you a bunch of numbers, and the best thing about John is that he reduced the number of numbers on his report.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you know, I mean, well, especially
I got all
so
the numbers
many
back here
areas
if you want
that you're interested in. Finance, I mean, to us, finance is the most important, so, you know, we want to tell you everything. But that's very common is, you know, I'm always telling company treasurers, cut it down.
Yeah.
Get to the bottom line.
It's basically the trend. If you could just, I think, go, well, you know, and not do a monthly, you know, this is how I performed this month, this is how I performed this month. No, just from inception to that date, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're really up, we're not, you know, we're anything. That, I think, because then it gives the overall feel. And recognizing that come that springtime when we're supposed to dedicate another 100,000 is when we get presented and all the options. And maybe then you go in a little bit more, like, realize this is for long-term, higher risk, and you might lose a little bit, but long-term is what should happen. It is other people's money. And again, all of your recommendations weigh really heavily because you guys are the ones that are the experts.
Right.
So, you know, please.
And this committee was born out of a bankruptcy when they said, whoops, we need some experts. We got some free ones.
Well, and you guys are it. I mean, so.
I think we got resolution on that. I would disagree a little bit with Robbie's perspective, but that's good that we've got to move into that. I see this as I'm chairman of the investment committee over at the college, and we just changed our investment advisors, but we gave them a 3 to 5 year perspective because you don't judge investment results on an annual basis. That's why we've talked about we're long-term diversified. So I think the time to change is on a 3 to 5 year perspective, not every year. If you lost money, if you take the human spirit, you just talked about it, runs counter to investing. You know, all of a sudden you're down. You say, well, let's get out of that. And that's a time you can buy dented cans and you buy on sale and still the same stuff inside. However, you know, that's what financial planners and brokers are about. Hang on. We're fine. We're right. This is the. But so if they're every year and we're changing council members every 2 years or whatever elections are, it's like, I'd rather school them into its 3 to 5 year perspective. But we can do that by having presenting these five choices every year and saying, we think you should stay with that. My sense is you don't want to bounce in and out of these things, particularly in PARs. And they say, they have, with us, you know, rarely do we want to, we don't want to be changing in and out. We have that ability, but we don't want to be doing that unless something dramatic happens. So generally the dramatic is you've gone up a lot, and that's the last time they want to leave. Oh, don't leave that. It's doing really well. And I did that one year. I lost 90% on a very speculative portfolio I had. No, I made 90%. And they said, oh, you're the highest in Long Beach, the whole Merrill Lynch of Long Beach. And I just puff up. My ego goes big. And then sure enough, you know, that then came 2000. And they go, whoom. So I lost 75%. So it's like... And I don't know how the percentages work out, but it didn't work out in my favor. So I had a great stock loss carryover for a long time. Enough on that.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, I
think you should, when you're asked monthly, say, well, you know the market went down this month, or you know the market went up this month, so of course ours,
Well, that's the benchmarking.
So then you can
you almost
just,
compare
you know.
Against a benchmark then versus... An absolute, hey, we went down. Hey, you know what? We were right with the benchmark.
With the market.
And may I clarify something based on your point? I'm not suggesting that every year you present those five options so that we can pick and choose again a different one. I think you just present those five options to reinforce that, hey, you're in the middle, and based on the group of experts and the way the market's going and what our final goal is, we continue to suggest that you stay in the middle. Or maybe there is that one time, this is the one time council that we suggest that you do actually take a little higher risk or something. So, but it's just presenting it so then it's more transparent and they recognize, and it satiates us in seeing that, oh, okay, well, we do have options. And And they have recommended to stay in this, which is perfect.
And I would say that Dennis Kulai kept saying this was an experiment, and we are into our third year of this experiment.
Yeah.
So I would offer that as, because remember he kept saying this is an experiment.
I don't like that term.
I didn't like that.
But I'm just saying that's what he said. So we're at a 3 years. The council's perspective, you're getting to some, it's our third 300,000. Mm-hmm. It starts to get a significant, when you got a $4.5 million budget and you're putting 300,000 away, mm-hmm. that starts to be sort of meaningful percentages that are being put.
We haven't put three yet, right?
Yeah, with our third. So we're in a time point where there is
they can do whatever they want. We still at their PS. If they want to listen to us, they can. If they don't want to listen to us, that's fine. Where the voters can vote them in, we can vote them out. But we make 11% last year. I thought that was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because people look at certain averages sometimes, but if you look at it, it depends on what you're in.
In these cases, you've got some bad monthly information, or good monthly information, but appropriate. Enough on that before we run out of time, and we do have a quick conference call. The investment portfolio, we've got some reports to look at. We want a potential transfer of the checking account. We've got a potential treasury report, and we've got number five, we've got a proposal from our Wells Fargo brokerage account that she has moved to Stifel. And Sandra Wheeler wanted to just talk to us briefly about that. Frank and I had talked about that made sense, but we thought we ought to bring it to you guys. Talked to Bill Nelson, who actually brought her in, and he said she's moved four times, and we called at the cemetery district, which is how we got into it. And they followed her each time. She's got I've got a document about why they moved and the fact that it would be no cost, that they covered the 125 move chance. But anyway, she's in Sacramento and expects to be called about right now.
We're considering moving just because she moved.
Right.
Okay.
And that's how we got to Wells Fargo. That's how she accepted it. The only reason she accepted our account, I think, because we didn't make much money on it, so damn small, that he was part of the cemetery district, which has a huge amount of money that they invest, and she does special districts around the California, and she was willing to take that on to keep in good with Nelson and the cemetery district.
You have something to say?
Well, I don't know if we have, some affinity to somebody that's, at least an organization that's part of Villa Park here. I mean, we have a Wells Fargo and a Bank of America and Chase and stuff. I don't know.
Not that I like Wells Fargo.
I don't have any accounts at Wells Fargo or anything either. She wasn't housed over here in this branch anyways. But
1 year we followed that, and we because Will was over at Union Bank, and we said, God, you. Bank. Will's great. Why don't we look at Union Bank? So we looked at Union Bank, and we took $100,000 CD or something out, and found out that that's handled by a different division than the branch. It's extremely bureaucratic. It's down in Long Beach or Santa Monica or somewhere. And Michelle pulling her hair out, saying, this is just hard to deal with, and never wanted to deal with it. That's just one example. Mm-hmm. Went to B of A and talked to the manager there. She could have cared less about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because they don't get any bennies. The branch doesn't.
No.
The only thing they get bennies out of is if we put the checking
anyway, so we looked a little bit about how can we help in Villa Park.
Because I was thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like
Wells.
We only have big banks. Big branches, right?
If you go to Wells, he's a branch manager. Same thing. He says that's
and they
that's
move
by
so
a different
fast.
Group.
So,
and then Will
they want the checking account. They want that money. Which
I'm sorry.
No, just a question. So she's already left Wells?
Yeah, she's
left. So has anybody reached out to say, hey, I'm your replacement, relationship manager, or nobody said anything yet?
From Wells.
Yeah, from Wells. Anybody reached out and said, I'm your new relationship manager since?
No.
Well, who do they normally deal with in the city?
It would be Frank or Jim.
Okay.
Or Bill.
I'm trying to remember, if we updated our authorizations for the various banks.
So we're still Wells right now,
yes.
and but she's gone, and we didn't. Frank brought it to me and said, "Hey, here's the packet she gave us. What do you think? Here's her explanation too, by the way." And I said, "I would follow her because it's a tough account. It's not a very attractive account to pick up in terms of dealing with, and she's dealing with the same portfolio of bonds that we can get
with them as well. I don't know when we initially need it, or do we have an investment coming up where we're going to look at reinvesting something?
We have that November one.
We do. We have one that's already matured, that's floating right now, and then we have another one coming up this next month, and another one.
Just a 100 or a 200?
We have 100 sitting there now that matured, a week ago?
Yes. Yeah.
We have another 100 that can be called in December, if I remember, but it's due in January. And we
but
have
we're
another
not doing
one
100,
that's
so.
In another 100,000, and then we have another 100,000 in February, if I remember right.
You're correct.
So we can put her off and say we'll wait later.
Right, because right now what we I talked to Mark Morrissey. This was let me get his backward. It was Union Bank that had this one. Uh-huh. So I talked to him, and he was parking the money. And he said, well, we can do it for you right now. And I tried to explain we're trying to combine the laddered amounts to get them into 200,000, so
right.
fewer of these granular things going. And that's where we are right now. But we don't really have any money that's movable into something long-term right now for Sandra anyway.
So you need this decision made today or not?
On Sandra, no.
No, I don't think so.
So why don't you, since you're new and on Treasury, why don't you guys come back and give us a recommendation?
Okay.
Because it's semi-operational here versus strategic. I mean, we're supposed to be advising on policy, not exactly managing the Treasury function. But I thought it would be nice for when Frank was bringing up, this would be before Frank said he was leaving, that we could come in here and advise on it.
And I did talk to him, basically, and he said the same thing, which said, yeah, that, he knows Sandra and said,
so
follow her
around. So don't do it before the next meeting. Come make a recommendation at the January meeting? We'll say yes or no.
Well, we only have one thing. It's the $100,000. They have a three-month money market-type baby CD that gets us almost 1.55%, and we were going to just put it in there and... until the other one becomes due, and then combine the two and figure out what we do at that point. Is that okay? Everybody's in agreement with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
So we try not to get into those about exactly which one and picking that, all that stuff, because that...
Got it
that
done.
But we don't need to do anything until the February one matures, really.
Well, that one is callable,
there is no required action until...
Correct.
But we have the option, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think the getting back in January is still okay.
Yeah.
We don't have a pressing need for that.
As long as everybody's okay with the three-month deal, let's just put
it
in there, and at least we get better interest than 0.05%.
You can barely wear.
So the document we have here is why she left, and two is are their fees different than here? The cemetery district's already gone to them, left the Wells and went to this, moved it with it. So that happens all the time in the financial industry.
John, Jim, you guys have both talked to her?
I have not talked
to her. No, you will. Okay. You will, I suppose, and talk to her and sort of follow up and come back, I guess.
So instead of calling her, I'll call her right after the meeting and tell her that you guys are getting in touch with her. And he has anybody on the committee that wants it, there's also a packet that she had about, kind of a boilerplate packet.
About stiff.
He's offering such large company.
The recent history.
Larger than Wells, actually, in terms of this area. Okay.
I was passing around basically the treasure report for September that John, I think you should have 8 copies, so you should have one for everybody.
I have one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll share.
Okay, copies?
Yeah, sure.
So the interesting thing to me on this report, I guess it's a sign of the times with the crazy curve. The short-term investments are paying more than the medium-term investment. Mm-hmm. So we suck out CalTrust, because it used to be we'd earn 0 point something in the short-term investments, and CalTrust was like 1% more because they were invested in that medium-term fund that were in there. And then even Goldman Sachs CD and Wells Fargo's CD are less than the OICP.
It's somewhere old.
So, in fact, it looks like short-term income, I assume this will shake out.
No, I don't think so.
Everything's flat.
Hey, does anybody want to come to the economic forecast? I can get you tickets. Give me your card and I'll get you tickets.
Oh, really? The Chapman?
When is it? When is it?
December 10th, I think. It's like a Tuesday.
Yeah,
Tuesday. Yeah.
Looks like you got a bunch of takers.
Here's my card.
Yeah, well, they charge $150, so.
Wow.
I may not be able to get enough. Tell me if you're not going, because sometimes I'm limited, they say. No.
So,
I can pack it.
I'm flexible. I get enough tickets on top.
Okay, yeah.
But look, I read about it.
Oh, well, maybe
I'll
get you.
Maybe you can get an autograph by
it. There you go.
On the program. okay. Any other comments on this document? And the cash flow document? We have one of those, too.
We do for September, and I think this is what? And I should have 8 copies, so...
Do we have anything big coming up from an expenditure standpoint in 2020 that, you know, major repair?
No, we have another street project, but that's consistent with our past project, so the same as we had in 2018-19, so I don't think there's anything, nothing.
Yeah, it's known today versus natural disaster.
Nothing,
right.
You know.
Yeah, a disaster.
I always hate to say guarantees, but...
Yeah. No push on the council to... take some of the money and improve Villa Park?
There is always pressure to do all those things, but there takes 3 votes, and that's always the sort of...
count to 3. Count to Campbell three. Says
there is the survey on the green belt.
You have to know how to count. Count to 3.
The green belt.
So there's a potential, but I think that, candidly, that's probably year too off. Before actual, you have to go out to bid or design when they decide what they want. There is some initial investment money that we have set aside, which we can cover for design and things like that. But the actual project itself, depending on what they do, may involve something more significant. We have budgeted, but that's something we would have to just deal with when the council decides.
No, that wasn't my survey. Yeah. Kind of lower cost.
No, that's fine. That's why it's intended to do. And, so he's talking about is... the one, the green belt, we're doing just a survey, and the council wanted to get some idea of what the community would have. It's not statistically accurate. It allows all sorts of access for multiple times. But it gives you a sense. It's an indicator barometer, or it's a little bit of a more information than the council otherwise has. The reality is we have 50,000 budgeted, and there's no way that 50,000 is going to go very far to rejuvenate that old green belt. So we're going to have to do something in answer to you, Joe, but what is that? You could spend hundreds of thousands, or you can just resell. Or, there's all sorts of options, and it's going to depend on what the 3 votes that are leading the council decide.
Well, and that's going to depend on the data, and if the data overwhelmingly says they just want it green, well, then the 50,000 will probably do that. Yeah. But if the data suggests they want something more significant, well, then we have to,
And what that entails, the last design was several hundred thousand.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Filling out.
But you're
only one vote.
Compact
granite.
The whole it's transparent. Yeah.
So we're trying to be as open, and I think the council.
I love the survey. I think the survey is a great idea. It just gives.
It was very easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably got over 300 responses.
Oh my goodness.
Which is for a city with only the population size we have. That's 300 voices that would otherwise not come to council, or maybe come to council, but there are voices that they can, the council can say, hey, you know what, there's a trendier.
But well, in fairness, are all those VP people? We don't know if all
No, we don't know, VP. And that's, I guess, it's not a statistically about, it's a sampling.
Yeah.
It's nothing more than a voice.
But it allowed for some input.
Some input, and I think that's sort of, you're asking what the residents want. That's
well, and I think more importantly, just to play devil's advocate, if something... does get approved and move forward, any of the critics, we could say, well, did you participate in the survey and voice that? And if you didn't, well, then,
And maybe there's an idea out there. We have a space for an idea. If somebody has something that says, hey, or we want to cap it. And there's also that question there. Do you want to cap it at a dollar amount?
Oh, you can put the affordable housing right along there.
There you go.
There you go.
There's
our
200. Well, actually, you can't.
You can't
the high pressure.
Down,
the high pressure.
Yeah. The gas line. Right.
So there's no that's opportunity
right. You can't
to go
down.
No more than 12
can't
feet
go down in that. Yeah. Okay. You want a profile of a conservative... risk-free city, or whatever we were on Morlock Freeport. You notice we went from 2010, when we had average annual $2.5 million or so, to 2018-19, where we had $5 million. So it kind of almost doubled. We did double. And we picked off, we started doing, got serious about doing reserves. So you see, we went from just using laddered CDs and laddered agencies, basically LAIF and OICP, to more tranches, more areas of development. And percent of investments in short-term and liquid, 52%. That's interesting.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
Is that a normal percentage, or is that high, is that low, or what's the...
I went back on that 1 year when I was new on the committee and looked at that, and tried to look at other cities and looked at some of the association standards, and it varies across the map.
Didn't we have a rule? I thought we had 50% rule.
I thought something like too, that expenditures covering for a certain period of time that we wanted to make sure we could cover.
6 months. We're supposed to have six months.
Okay.
But the
what is
the 50? Well, the 52% says that's you know what's there, but it doesn't mean like if we have a $3 million project next month.
So the other one I pushed for my first year on here was a cash flow statement, and basically never got it, and it's clear I'm going to cause trouble by keeping pushing. And then Michelle had a cash flow statement in her head that said this is adequate because we, and the number of big things we had were generally one or two, so we had the wall over here, whether FEMA would pay for it, and then we had the sewer fixing up, and they weren't. It was all managed when the city manager was fine with it at the time. So we've kind of gone with, we keep close to the...
We have very few large projects that are, you know, they're isolated. They're one or two projects.
Right.
A street project, we had the Mesa Henderson storm drain, which we thought at one time would be close to $1 million, but that's now going to be handled through our insurance. So that's sort of changing our reality.
Right.
So that's not going to be a set aside. It's going to change our payment, I mean, our ratings, but and our monthly, you know, cost. But the we have a street project about 980,000 budgeted, somewhere in that range, 900 some range. But that's it. And that's sort of every 2 years you're going to have a major investment for a street is where the council has been sort of going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And we cobble together lots of funding for those. It's not just general fund, but... The OCTA money, the state money, et cetera, the gas tax money, et cetera. So we cobble together a lot and accumulate monies over years to get there. So we build up, spend is how it kind of goes.
Well, and the other thing is, realistically, if we needed to get the money out, the penalties are so insignificant. I mean, we're acting like this is an act of God to get it out, and it's not. We can get the money out of any of these. What we call long-term, we can get it out of there tomorrow if we need to.
Things we have to go through with the council. We have to have 4 out of 5 council.
Right, I understand. But, I mean, if we needed the money, I mean, when we're, you know, this isn't like it's tied up in something we can't get the money out of. We need to get the money out.
As opposed to PARS money, which
correct.
You can't get.
Correct,
right.
Everything on this chart other than the PARS is like, you know,
yes.
The council says we need the money, we get the money, and we pay a small penalty, and away we go.
Within 72 hours, you could have a special meeting and do almost anything
correct.
You need to do.
So really, it's the unexpected that you need to allow for, and the percentage varies by city because many of them work on fund accounting, so anything that they have coming up, they'll take it out of the operating fund and put it in a reserve fund pretty seriously, and we don't do that so strongly here, nor did we need to. Thank you for the reports.
Sure. I mean, my question, you know, as looking at this and putting it for the first time, what does this really, guys, tell you? Because, you know, it basically looks really relatively simple to me. So, I mean, is it beneficial? Is it something else we should be looking at? I mean, to your point, Bill, I mean, looking at a cash flow statement in such a small city, and I think we could be pretty concise about it going out a few years and forecasting it. You know, obviously you're going to have those things that come up every couple of years
I would be right with you. I would applaud that.
I mean, even if it's just a swag on, here's what we've got going for the next 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, I think most of our expenditures are pretty
here's the big ones
set,
that pop in there, and then we at least know.
I just caution, it's an operating document, it's fine.
Right.
I don't want it to become a policy reporting document
totally
against the council, because then it becomes sort of a budget that I have to, like, why did you spend more this money?
Why did we spend in June instead of July?
Want to deal with that, because we have, because we're so small, you know, we try and pay bills in 30 days and blah, blah, blah. But I as an operating document, I'm 100% there, but as a policy document, I want to stay away from it.
Okay. But what is the point of this? Why do we have this?
This is...
Because Dennis did it, probably.
I think that might be it.
This is a Dennis thing?
I imagine.
It doesn't really do anything to me.
To me, it's a dentist thing.
That was my observation. Okay, what is...
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing over time, it shows the growth of the city as a financial entity, but
which
it doesn't help me.
Well, one of the things we used it for was, should it be putting more, we used in the past, should we put more money into reserves?
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as we grew, they weren't paying attention, and they said, oh, by the way, we think you could take in another 500 into reserves.
Okay.
That's what the only thing.
We need a 10-year history to do that.
We're at a point now where we have maxed out on the city council policy on what we can put in reserves. Because there is the policy of certain amount, you know, there's a cap on what can be put in reserves. It was implemented a couple of years ago, Dennis, about...
Why?
I forget what it is. I don't want to misstate the number. But there was a cap because... There was a cap. I don't know why, but there's a... So we have pushed to stay, since I've been here, Frank and I, and now Jim, will be pushing to get it to that cap and, you know, go as high as I can go. I'm going to put the money there. Cause it's,
so I guess it could be a thing that could be addressed again by...
I didn't either.
It's been adopted by the city council adopted a policy, and I can get that.
Okay,
I'll send it out
to you. Maybe that's something I need to look at because... We're still underfunded in pensions. I mean, we're not 100% funded, so there is still, it's not like we have just money to sit around.
And I will be very honest, there are at least two voices on the current council who feel we have too high reserves and feel that we are stuffing money in mattresses.
And what would they do with it?
They would pay for infrastructure that is deteriorating within the city. In their minds, that we are repairing roads at a rate of, I think the rate is once every 85 years, we're repaving roads and things.
Right.
And we have deterioration of some of our storm channels and things like that. So the argument would be, and I'm not going to...
I understand.
The argument is, and it's been placed, that would be money well spent because the life expectancy of a road improvement is anywhere from 20 to 30 years. A sewer improvement is 50 to 100 years, you know. So you're making long-term investments in the city. Right now we have a very favorable, like what they call pavement condition index for the county, but we could have higher.
Right.
We're in the low 80s, we could be in 90. You know, you go down some of our roads, you think, holy cow.
Right.
I understand that argument, and you guys have all stated that argument.
Right.
That's sort of, we should be putting more money into the infrastructure, which is our asset, than in the bank account.
So you'll always have somebody with that view. In fact, the former chairman of this committee, who was very conservative financially, ended up, when he came on the council, saying, we need to get not to put so much in reserves. What happened to that? So it's like he said, no, look, we need to get these roads better. We need to get these infrastructure.
So it's an
asset. I think you need a cap as a percent instead of an absolute amount.
It is a percent. It's a cap. It's a percent.
What's a percent?
I want to say it's... I'll send you the resolution.
It's 8% of the budget.
So come back.
It's 8% of the. No, it's 8%. It's 8% of the growth every year that can be applied. So your revenue growth as a percent can only. I'll have to get it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Let me. If I could take a look at that.
Yeah. Remembering this.
I'll email
that's
all
complete
of you.
New news. I'm like.
Were you on council when that? Were you on the council when they had that discussion?
I don't recall, to be honest.
Yeah. I did kind of remember
that's
the discussion.
It's true. There's probably a lot of that going on right now.
Exactly.
So maybe that's a short answer to this.
Can we explore shortening or stopping this? Shortening the number of years or stopping it? Can we explore that a little bit?
Would anyone notice if it wasn't here?
Well, okay. I'm just saying let's look at that before the next meeting.
I like it. Just because
it's a nice report because it shows the growth.
Comparable data. You know what I mean? Right. I like it, but if it's not necessary, then, you know. But I personally, I like, because I just want to go, okay, let's see, up, down, up, 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 down.
It's pretty basic.
You can do it in a graph.
Yeah, you could do it in a graph, too.
But some of it's like the yellow highlight states the obvious. I mean, our revenues are going to be the lowest, our monies are going to be lowest before the apportionments of the property tax.
Right.
We are a property tax-based city.
There, definitely.
If that is like news to anybody, I'm shocked because that should be self-evident, and it's proven itself over X number of years that we're always...
I think it was done in lieu of a cash flow statement, quite frankly.
I do too.
Because
what
do you do? This would be input to a cash flow statement. It says, okay, every year it goes up here.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of the changes.
We need not to average it. Here's where it is. But in lieu of a cash flow statement, I'd like to see it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
But cash flow statement came, this one seems to be a good report to me, because it says Harbor Investment. We can, at this point, at 9 o'clock, stop our meeting.
Can we talk about the checking account, if anyone has time?
We can go to the treasury, to the checking account and the treasury report.
Okay, I got two quickies.
I got to leave, guys.
And I'm going to just step out for you, Brad.
Oh, thank you.
And then take...
Awesome.
Take this one, too. There you go.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, so let me pass these out quickly, and I'll zoom through it. And I do have enough.
Oh, you bet. I've got the
couple there, couple here. Okay, again, this is the August, because I didn't get the September yet. It's similar to what we had on the other one, but if you go over to the right, it shows the average return on investment for each of these little items that we have here, which goes back to our question on the PARs. I left the PARs in on the bottom, but they're year-to-date. Again, it's not programmed to date, but year-to-date through August, you're at 8.6% on that, which is far and away, at least as of this date, you know, may change next month, but as of this date is far and away the best investment of any of the money we have in there. Mm-hmm. You can also see, like you said, some of, you know, these CDs are going down. You know, the older ones we had in there, like the one at Comenity, is 5.1%, and we're not getting anywhere close to that on anything. Everything we checked on is basically your 1% to 2% across the board. Doesn't matter on the term, whether it's 3 months or 4 years or 5 years right now. Okay. The other thing I found interesting is I did meet with F&M Bank. I'll talk about that in a second, but I did go through all of the reports and as well as the LAIF and the OCIP. So you'll see there's a new column all the way to the right, which is the actual amount of money that we've received year to date on the money that's in there. So we got a whopping $1 in the parking, but that's a small account. We got a whopping $157 in the money market. LAIF and OCIP, it's about $8,000 and $13,000 of interest we've got out of them year to date. That's actually received, not what they say that they've, you know, credited us for. I'm just using real bucks that are sitting in our account as of that amount. You can also see that LAIF and OCIP, the return on investment there is not very good either, you know, from what I would consider a good return on investment. The money's there, it's readily available, but it's not like we're making lots of money with them sitting on all that money.
They have very conservative investment policies.
Correct.
On both of them, because OCIP, because of the bankruptcy.
Correct.
LAIF is just traditionally very conservative.
But I just thought it was something we should look at, or at least we can see what these dollars are quickly and say, you know, what are we talking about here if we're making decisions or making recommendations, or how much time do we want to spend on it, okay? If you have any questions, just send me an email. I know we're running late. One other thing is I had talked about this with Frank, and then when Frank was leaving, I put everything on hold. And Jim came in, and we chatted, and he said, let's take a look at different things we could possibly do. The one thing you'll notice, I went and I talked to the FM Bank people. I talked to two other options. I haven't gone any further, and maybe we'll have to postpone this till next meeting, or if you guys have input, just send me an email. Let me know what your suggestions are. F&M Bank, we've got three accounts in there, like I mentioned. The checking account has no interest, but they don't charge no fees on any of their accounts to us. So we're not paying any fees, and they do come over and pick up the deposits, which saves us time and people time. The net, if you go through all three accounts, though, through year-to-date, we had about $477,000 on an average daily basis in those three accounts, and we got a whopping $22 of interest out of it. But we got free checking, you know, for that. But that's just a net of where we are in this thing. I asked if there were any things that they had that they might suggest that we could do differently, or they, you know, things that they offered. They had a couple things, but it really wasn't much more advantage. The one thing they did say is if we wanted to put a check processing machine in here, they bring one in and set it up. We only do roughly 60 checks a month.
Correct.
The drawback of that is then we're liable for having to archive the checks and all that stuff. My personal view is I don't think that's worthwhile. The little application like you and I would do on our own thing where they take the pictures, yeah, that's available, but you can only do $10,000 a month, so that isn't going to work for the city either. So as far as anything improving dramatically at F&M, it's not going to happen. I'd be happy to check a couple different banks. I don't think a normal bank like the Wells here or the Chase or the Bank of America, we're going to get much different out of them. Okay, that's just my net.
It'll probably be better from an online. And
yeah, we'd be better from an online and being able to process stuff, but and then they're right here, so right coming and picking up stuff. But the folks at F&M were very, very pleasant, very professional. They knew I was there sort of shopping banks, and they were still, you know, very courteous. And I came out of there like, unless there's some overwhelming reason to change at this time from a bank to a bank, the answer is probably no.
Okay.
Unless somebody here says they want to change it, which I'll, you know, I'm not asking for an answer today. The second option we talked about before was an online bank with these high interest checking, high interest savings accounts and things like that, like Alley Bank as an example. All these banks have different opportunities because they're basically not brick and mortar banks, so they have lower overhead, they can get away things. They do offer more of the electronic, you know, gizmos and gadgets and programs than some of the brick and mortar banks. Alley, as an example, has what's called a no penalty CD, which currently pays 1.9%. Mm. The reason it's a no penalty is you can pull it out anytime after 6 days. You can pull anything up to the full amount out without getting penalized. And you earn the net of what you get to that point. It's an 11-month term on that. You know, those rates go up and down based on, you know, when you're in and when you're out. Like, I think this one was 1.9 on 11.7. I think today it's 1.8. You know, it just depends on what they're getting at that time. That's similar to what we're getting with Mark Morrissey on what he's putting our stuff in for that 3 month versus the 4 month two options up there on this $100,000. They also have what's called a high interest savings account, which is what we would consider the high interest checking that they talk about on TV all the time. Yes, it's 1.8 right now. The only limit is you can only do 6 transactions per month without a penalty, but if we're doing one a week, if just pulling money out and putting it in somewhere, we go from 0.05 or 0% checking today to almost 2%, which on $400,000 on a year is, you know, $10,000. Okay, so if we're able to do, I'm not saying this is where we'd go, but if we're able to do something like this and the money went into there first and then was pulled out into a normal checking account once a week, you could get up to $10,000 extra into the treasury during the year. If there's over 6 transactions, they charge a whopping $10. So it's not, again, an onerous fee if we had to make some extra, and it can all be done electronically. The third option that I talked about, and I met with somebody at Schwab because I've got an account up there, a couple accounts. They have the same sort of thing. And you know, you can see down there, everything there again can be on the phone. It can be through the computer. Everything can be done from Steve and Jim's office here. You know, you don't have to go out and do anything. The only thing potentially would be the cash. If we had cash and checks, checks are easy, but the, you know, actually cash money. But I don't know how much of that.
Not a lot.
Not very much from what I saw.
Yeah. Not from what I've seen at this point.
But checks are easy. Mm-hmm. And the bulk of our transactions, if you looked at it, a lot of them were money coming in was coming from
building inspection, permits.
Right. So.
My sense is, from my personal point of view, I'm in favor of whatever you guys come up with. But I would keep in mind where we started, that when people didn't want to do laddered CDs, that's too hard, that oftentimes you don't have the expertise that we've had in the financial director with mm-hmm. Michelle, and then the two county super employees.
Right.
So we have to all make sure that if the city manager is comfortable,
correct,
that says it's just putting more work on staff, recognizing that we won't always have the quality staff that
right.
we've had here recently. I mean, this is exceptional.
Right.
But other than that, it's a trade-off to me of convenience, work, and rate, and rates are not overpowering, so.
Thank you, Bill, but I think that's one of the things as I go through and get to the weeds, basically, how can we streamline processes,
it, right.
you know, make things a little more efficient so it'll make it easier. I mean, the same sort of stuff you're doing in your personal checking, I mean, well, I think we could do that basically mm-hmm. with a bank and get approvals and sort of put together some sort of workflow. So as opposed to I'm doing data entry on to get out our check runs a couple times a month, I mean, we should be able to do all that online now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's an overriding question about how we marry that with our financial system at the moment. And I know it can be done, but I don't know how we can do it with this financial system.
The more
but those kind of things.
Ties or make recurring. not dependent on personality and skills.
Correct.
Yeah. Better. Personally, I would like to suggest, I mean, because Frank and I were at the point, but then Frank moved on to greener pastures, or older pastures. If John and Jim got together, I mean, there's some revamping that needs to go on in our financial system that was sort of, you know, we need to modernize, we
would
need to do
easier.
Some things. So I'm in favor of going there. My only concern, and is going to be overriding, is checks and balances. It has to be in place. We are so small that I don't have a lot of multiple layers of review. I just don't have it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can't guarantee, you can't guarantee it. I don't want to rely on external. So anything we implement has to have the checks and balances built in. We were talking to John about...
And be simple to use.
Just simple to use and transferable, so the institutionalized, so the next person
is... Exactly.
Because we, unfortunately, do have some turnover that's going to happen, like Bill suggested. Mm-hmm. So I would like that. But if the two of you would get together and come back and come... I'm very comfortable with that.
Okay.
And I had told Frank before he got there, but he was going to talk to you about it, but then he moved on.
Right.
But I would be very comfortable, even looking at our financial system and say, let's do this and this. And let's make the investment in the transition, but let's keep that... like the safety and security control in place.
Right.
That is absolutely my biggest concern, because I can't report.
Sometimes when you introduce these things in the past, the council or mayor wanted to see and sign the check physically.
Well, we've kind of gotten away from that. We do that electronically, but it's a hybrid electronically where he approves them and we just apply his signature electronically now. So it is not exactly the best. There's no queue where he locks in each check. It's a hybrid, and Frank came up with it. But I mean, it is low hanging fruit, as I've sort. So I would like the two of them.
Well, yeah, I'm the master of low hanging fruit, but I think
But still, it can be done. And I think, you know, we need to invest a little bit of money in our upgrading our financial system, et cetera, if it needs to be. So I'm comfortable you coming back and say, let's do this, and I'll go to the council and make that argument. And I think the council will be receptive, because, you know, I have made the argument.
So you need to run it by the mayor who's signing checks. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm keeping that in mind, and I think there's systems out there that have, you know, we can upload the documents to the system, so he's looking at the same documents, but basically instead of, you know, and just basically clicking a button, and then the bank basically, and then it comes to Steve, and that workflow, and Steve then clicks the button, and it,
we're scanning documents, and it's not time for efficiency.
Right.
It's time intensive. Let me just say that. But I know that.
Correct.
And it's, you know, and it's not quick.
That should be our priority, really, is to minimize staff time. I mean, that should be a big thing that we always keep in mind, because we have a small staff.
So I'd be comfortable if the two of you came back and said, "Here, let's move to this, and here's what we do." Whatever that means.
If there's a way to do it, we can basically pay for the infrastructure update in 1 year with just
that would be the
2%. It won't be 2% by the time we get there. It'll be down to whatever, but it's still better than what zero.
But I like the idea of sort of bringing us up to that, because we're still doing things as if we did in 1980s.
Right.
Probably. I mean, not.
I don't know 80s, but the 2000s. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're
it's a little better, but not
that. Computers.
And we can get away with it because we're not processing 5,000 checks a month.
Right.
We'd be shut down if we were.
And you had a 20-year treasurer who wanted everything. Yeah.
My recommendation is the two of you come back come back with your recommendation in January, and we sort of...
You can't do anything but be a...
One last question. Anybody want details on F&M and Lake and OCIP or not? Okay.
You can give me copies.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you would.
I talked to Sandra and just now and told her that you guys would be calling her. I'll send you an email to document that.
Got it.
I lost my magic sheet, so where are we done?
Yes.
So that leaves off, we'll talk about next time, the PARS semi-annual report schedule. I'll talk to Jim about what I'm going to do with PARS and have them hopefully give them twice a year, have us give a semi-annual report once at the calendar year end, so that would be coming up in December, that we would have to discuss in this meeting, and then once in July for the fiscal year, and then we can incorporate that in. That would give us two views, because we don't regularly discuss that in here quarterly. We'd give us two views of the performance at that point, in addition to the treasurer's report.
Okay.
What I missed the treasurer's report. Are you going to initiate this? I've given you my comments on this previously.
On the treasurer report?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So up to you guys.
Yeah. We've just been waiting to get everything assimilated and back into the flow.
Good. With that, we are adjourned.